Okay, B'shem Hashem Nasev Natsliach. We start Maisa Dalet, Mimelech Shegozer Shmad, otherwise known as Maisa Nisim. We'll talk about why it also has another name, Maisa Nisim. Okay, so it's a big schus to learn this before Purim because, you know, like every good wine, not that I know much about good wines, but any winery I've been in, when they taste the wine, they're like, oh, there's a hint of berries in this, there's a hint of cherry wood in this, there's a hint of this in this, there's a hint of that in there. There's so many hints in the wine, there's a hint of chocolate in the wine. Again, I don't know what that means exactly, but that's what they say about good wine. When it comes to Sipur Maisius, you have all these, like, these hints of Purim, hints of Tisha B'Av, hints of this concept, hints of that concept, all these different little hints within the Hungarish wine of Rabbi Nachman. So in this story, we see a little bit of Purim, we see a little bit of Tisha B'Av, we see a lot of, we see 1492, Spanish Inquisition, we see a lot of everything. And as Rabbi Nosson said to his son, Rabbi Yitzchak, that when Rabbi Nachman was giving her Sipur Maisius, he never was just referring to one thing. He's referring to Kol HaTorah Kula at one point, at every point. So, Pa'am Achas HaYamelech. Okay, there was a king, like most stories start out, there's a king, V'gozal L'medina Geirish B'gzeirish Shmad. And he's Gozal L'medina Geirish B'gzeirish Shmad. Is it basically that you can't be Jews anymore, or you have to get out of here, or you have a choice. You can get out of here, or you can totally assimilate. Shemisho tzeli shabim b'medina yamer daaso v'mlavi in izgarish b'medina v'yuktas mem shifkiu kol v'chushu v'ashivu shalem v'yatsu b'sham v'dalus k'dei l'shar v'amunu she'yisraelim. There are some people who left all of their rechush and all of their land and all everything that they had to be poor, just to be, hold on to their emunah as Jewish people. But there were some of them that held on to their riches, who held on to their money, who held on to their land, and they'd rather be anusim. Anusim are people who basically had to hamir da'ato, they had to change their das, at least on the outside. Pitzina yunoagin das yudis, v'farhesi lo yirishoyim, that v'farhesi, they weren't Jews, but in hiding they were. These were the Maranos. Umei Samelech. So let's just stop there for a minute. We could understand this on so many levels. It's a very simple, it's up till now, it's a very simple storyline, a classic, you know, 1492 type of Spanish Inquisition story. If we go a little bit deeper, you know, we could talk about that the Melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Melech is gozer onto the land. That in order for me to create the world, and for me to be mezgala this malchuso, I have to hide all of the lokuso. I have to create, as it says in Torah Samach Dalet, a chol aponui, a place that seems absent of God. And I have to be master my malchus betoch ha-teva, in order to give the teva the koach, and to hide the ashkach of the malchuso, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchus was too strong as godliness, the world can't exist. We need a world, we need an olam, we need a teva. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to take himself out of this world. And from this astara, this creates a gzer and geirish hashmad, which throws man from dveikus from Hashem Yisbarach, throws man into this world of hevel, throws man into the world of gashmius, throws man into hard work, throws man into eating, throws man into sleeping, throws man into everything in this world. But we want to be davek b'Torah, but no. The neshama is sent down to Shemayim, and Hashem says, "I want a dear b'tachtonim davka, in the place where it doesn't seem that Hashem's malchus is permeating the world." So there are two choices. The choice is that some of them were got rid of their rechush, and they became poor, just to hold on to their emunah. Those are people who, as Rav Weinberger would say, would laugh at Olam Hazeh. Who said that Olam Hazeh is not worth it? And all of this hiding of Hashem, the more money I have, the more riches I have, the more I'm holding on into this Olam Hazeh, the more I'm not going to see God. The more I'm going to be in Shmad, the more I'm going to be in Girush. I don't want to be in Girush. And therefore he laughs at the heavenly Olam Hazeh. He's mafkir all of his things in order just to be cling on to Hashem. And he's zochel, he's skarv to the tzaddikim, and he's skarv to the emes, and he's nitzel min agerishin. He's nitzel min agerishin, and he holds on to a Kadosh Baruch Hu so tightly. He throws everything else in this world, throws all the heavenly shav in this world, and he's not tricked by the pargod, by the by the smokescreen of this world, and he's willing to give everything up to be mizdavik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are some people who get involved with Olam Hazeh, and they want to be normal, and they want to live life with all of these riches and all the good things in life and hold on to them. We're not talking about a person who wants to enjoy a little bit of life, but a person who's just holding on to his riches, and he defines himself as riches, and he buys into the smokescreen of Olam Hazeh, and he doesn't see the Kel Mistater. He just sees what he sees. He just sees his riches. He just sees his house. And he's not ready to give that up. And he can't do that. And therefore, there's a pachad and yira chitzonis that comes out here. And he kind of gives it up. And although inside, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, the people by the Sudas HaChashverosh, that hem rak asu el pnim, only pnim, in the inside, there was a kusta dechiusa, there was a pintaliyid inside, but the outside, we don't really see much, because the outside was filled with holding on to all these riches of this world and holding. He's not able to laugh at this world and see this smokescreen and the delusion of this world. And then we'll go on in the story. Then we have a Ben HaMelech who comes after the first king. And he started being gozer on Shmadal and Yisrael, and he was even tougher than the first king. And we have to understand. We'll understand in a minute. Umach mashaya machzik betokiv yodo es asariyam lucha yotzol v'niskashali polalov lachis also v'adzaro. So let's talk about this king a little bit. This king, he feels empowered because he's seeing these people. He's seeing these Jews who are kind of like giving into his malchus and being hamer das for this king. And he sees that the power works. And this is the way the world runs. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I heard from Rav Shmuel Eliyahu a bunch of times, where he stands right by his house. His house is near what's called the Mayana Radum in Tzfat, which used to be the Muslim quarter in Tzfat before 1948. And he tells a story that there are only a handful of Palmach soldiers that were willing to fight for Tzfat, other than the old Kabbalists that lived there who were worth nothing when it comes to fighting. And one day, it was a day in Iyar, in May, all of a sudden, the British left and they said, good luck, you know, the Arabs are going to totally destroy you. The Palmach still decided to fight. And one day, miraculously, for reasons that we could talk about a different time, but really, really miraculous reason, no real reason, they just fled. I think over 20,000 Arabs just fled in one day. They fled. Where did they get from? Rav Shmuel Eliyahu asked, where did they get that from? Because Baruch Hu planted in their head a certain fear. He implanted it. Kadosh Baruch Hu's ability to implant in people's head a certain fear. Now that only happens when Am Yisrael stands up like a lion. Ka'ari yakum, like a lion we stand. As Rav Shmuel Eliyahu said that in the story of in the Megillas Esther, the whole story changed around when Esther's lavash bigdei malchus, when she puts on the bigdei malchus, when she's ready to go in there and take control, that's when the whole story changes around. That's when everything changes around. When a Jew stands up and a Jew has a geulas hadas, like the words of the Arizal by geulas Mitzrayim. Not only were we freed from slaves, but we asked for the money and we brought korbanos of their gods right in front of them, from slaves to being totally the rulers of Mitzrayim. We went. It was a geulas hadas. When we have a Geulas Hadas, the nations of the world step back. They run away, they flee. But when we show a weakness, and we just want to hold on to Olam Hazeh, and we're falling for the demyonos of Olam Hazeh, for the delusions of Olam Hazeh, that's when the world strengthens themselves against the Jews. It's a direct correlation between how we are. If we have a Geulas Hadas, the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will put in their heads fear, and they'll walk away, and they'll sheepishly walk away, and we can rule the land. But if not, because Baruch Hu puts it in their heads, these are the weak people. You could destroy them. You could take them. So the king is encouraged by seeing these Jews, these weak Jewish people, who are willing to be hamer daso for the king, and therefore the king strengthens and he's covished the whole world. But then umach mashayim machzik b'tokav yodat tsar melucha yatz olav v'niskash lepol olav v'achrisos zera. He was so strong that people plotted to kill him. Ooh, it sounds like Big Son Viserys here. They plotted to kill him. and one of the Sarim were actually one of the Maranos, the Anusim, the Yishev Atzma. Again, he had Yishev Adas, very important word. We saw this a lot in the Chigar. The Yishev Atzma, before any decision in life, we need the words the Yishev Atzma. Think about what you're about to do. Hello, and he says like this, Hello, Neimani Anus. Why am I an Anus? Why am I Murano? Because I cared about all my money. Otherwise, I'd be a wandering Jew, and I'd still be a Jew now. But I cared about my property. Medina below Melech, but now they're going to kill the Melech. It's going to be a Medina without Melech. There's going to be Hefka going on here. Yeah, Ishas Rei Chaim below. The Ishas Rei will eat each other up, like it says in the Pirkei Avos, that we should be grateful that there's a Melucha, that there's a Memshal, that there's law and order. He has Efshar Shia Medina below Melech. He can't have a place without a king. Al Ken Yatz Ba'atzmo. And therefore, he gave the Eitzah to himself after the Ishavis Atzmo. Leilich Lag the Melech Beli Yediyasam. He went ahead and he rebelled against his friends, the Sarim, and he told the king what the plot. And the king went to see if it's true. And the king saw that this is true. There are actually people trying to kill him. And the Shomrim caught the people who were trying to kill the king, and each one got their rulings. So it's very interesting here. We have the Anus, who's saving the king's life. Now, right afterwards, let's read a little further. What cover can I give you? What, you saved me. You saved me and my children. You want to become a tsar? You're already a tsar. He give you money? You have money. What can I do for you? So, he says, swear to me that you're going to do what I'm going to do. So he answers, Ana v'Omar. He says, Iker kvodi she'rash rashai liyot yudi befarhesia, that it could be a Jew in public, laniach talus utfilin befarhesia, to be meniach talus utfilin befarhesia. So we have this Anus, who gave up his Judaism, who gave up befarhesia, he became a Marano. And it seems that he gets such schar for his work that he did, even though his kavanah had nothing to do with ruchnius. What was his kavanah? His kavanah that he shouldn't lose his rechush, that he shouldn't lose his rechush. So why exactly was he zocha to this unbelievable thing that we're going to see in this story, that he was able to wear talis and tefillin befarhesia in the land of these goyim who were trying to stop all these Jews? So the Perish of Orech Mishor explains, I think, a nice idea. That sometimes when a person has a Yerida, right? Rabbi Nachman is the Rebbe of all Yeridas. If we want to know how to have a proper Yerida, we have to look at Rabbi Nachman, because nobody else wants to talk about Yeridas. To have a proper Yerida, sometimes when a person has a Yerida, not only is his spirituality and his ruchnius affected, so he's not davening, he's not learning, everything starts to fall apart and tumble down, even his chitzonius, even his life, his job, takes a toll, and his family takes a toll, and the cleanliness of his house takes a toll. It's part and parcel of putting yourself together. So Rabbi Nachman's saying that this Jew, even though that he went to save himself from the king because he didn't want to lose all of his rechush and his hon, and he didn't want a hefker belt. It wasn't like this beautiful spiritual reason that he wanted talisman tefillin at first. At first, he just didn't want a nation that would run amok, that there would be no law and order. So therefore, but because he had a proper Yerida, and he saw that there's a Chitzonius out there, and at least I could have Seder and my Chitzonius, that's worth something. That's worth something. So this is when you have a Yerida. Okay, so Mimela, then the Ruchnius takes a big hit. You're not davening, you're not learning. But hold on to the Chitzonius at least. Hold on to your job. Hold on to the cleanliness. Hold on to working out. Whatever, don't totally fall apart. Hold yourself together and you'll get back to the Ruchnius. When a person totally falls apart and affects every part of his life, either the Chitzonius of his life, so a person can't stand up after this. So this Jew saw that just because there's a big, great nephila here, I'm not falling all apart. And I want there to be Seder in my life. Despite the fact that there was a big nephila, I want there to be Seder in my life. And because he did this, he started putting himself back. And Mimela, he comes back. And the tikkun that he's going to have, the ultimate tikkun he's going to have, is that the king is going to swear This king is going to swear, b'shvuas ha-melech, that he is going to allow him to do whatever he wants. Little does he know, he's getting his talis and tefillin, everything that this king is fighting, and he asks for talis and tefillin. So next time we're going to talk about the talis and tefillin, but we have to stop here and understand 2 points. Geulas hadas, when a Jew is able to stand up, when a Jew is able to get up like an ari, like a lion, goyim step back. Goyim will step back against that. They'll step back. We don't have to take Olam Haza so seriously as a quote of why we're. Sometimes we have to laugh at Olam Haza. And then Olam Haza takes a step back. That's number one. Number two is that even in the time of Yerida, there has to be Seder. Even if it's a Seder Chitzoni, even if it's a Seder in your physical life, you're working out, your cleanliness, your job, it's important to hold on to that because part of the Yerida, the Yetzar is trying to get the Yerida to all of the aspects of your life. And this person, although he had a great Yerida and he was Hamer Dasa, one of the worst things a Jew can do, he held on to a certain Seder in his life. And because he held on to a certain Seder in life, he was able to come back to the Ruchnis, he comes back to the Talis and Tefillin. Hold on, a Yerida, we have to be careful. Yerida is not only in the world of Ruchnis, it can permeate also the Olam HaChitzonis. And when it permeates the Olam HaChitzonis, then we have a very tough time getting back to the Ruchnis.